Breaking news, a federal judge has halted California's unconstitutional power grab against the requirements to be on the ballot for president of the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, folks, there is breaking news out of California. You may remember that last month, President Trump's legal team, which my dad is the senior attorney for President Trump, and the GOP, the Republican Party, and the California Republican Party, sued the state of California over a law that made it a requirement to release your tax returns for up to 5 years of your tax returns to appear on the state's primary ballot in March of 2020. So the Trump, this was a law passed by California's legislature, signed by California's governor, Governor Newsom. And even though past governors in California thought that this was something that could not pass constitutional muster, including former Governor Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom ultimately did it. The Trump legal team, so President Trump and his legal team led by my dad, Jay Sekulow, the Republican Party nationally, and the state party in California filed a lawsuit against this unconstitutional action. And just yesterday, after we were on the air, a federal judge has ordered a temporary injunction. It's a tentative order against California's first-in-the-nation law requiring candidates to disclose their tax returns for a spot on the presidential primary ballot. This is an early victory for President Trump. It could be ultimately appealed. We're not even at that point yet, though, because this is a temporary move by the judge. U.S. District Judge Morrison England Jr. said he will issue his final ruling. Now, that's his final ruling on whether he's going to put a preliminary injunction on this law by the end of this month. So before October 1st, we should have a final decision about is there an injunction placed on this law going into force. Then there will be a case on the merits of the law, the constitutionality of the law. But he said that he took the unusual step of issuing the tentative order from the bench because, quote, there would be irreparable harm without temporary relief for Trump and other candidates from the law that was signed by Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom. This is what my dad, President Trump's lead attorney, Jay Sekulow, namesake of the show, chief counsel for ACLJ, said about the judge's decision to halt the law. Quote from Jay Sekulow, "It remains our position that California's tax return law is unconstitutional because states are not permitted to add additional requirements for candidates for president and that the law violated citizens' First Amendment right of association." So that is the statement. Again, we expect a final decision on whether the law will face a full injunction while the case is being heard on the merits before the end of this month. So very soon, but an early victory there for President Trump. And again, for future, another one like we were talking about yesterday, for future presidents as well, to protect future presidents as well from this kind of harassment where, again, the Constitution lays out the requirements to be president, age, citizenship. What it allows states to do under the law is set up the procedural matters, you know, not substantive, like you must be this A, B, C, D. This would be like, okay, you have to be 35, you have to be a natural born citizen, you also have to release 5 years of your tax returns. That's substantive. That's not a procedural matter, like you got to put your name on the ballot by this time, by this day of the month, to be on the primary ballot. So again, an early victory there. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. President Trump's legal team fighting this presidential harassment in California. Yesterday, we talked about it in New York. And the president heading to the UN to defend religious liberty on Monday. We'll talk about that on Jay Sekulow Live. We come right back on the air.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Don't forget, the next Red Wave is out next Tuesday, September 24th. I'll be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast Monday, the day before the book release, his television broadcast as well that night, a number of other shows as well throughout the week talking about the book. But we wanted to kind of give you a preview about, before we did all those interviews, about why we wrote this book, what you will read in the book. And we'll do that again later in the show today. But I encourage you, go to thenextredwave.com. Momentum is great for the pre-orders. We're just probably about a couple hundred books short of where we want to be in pre-orders. And that can be through hardback. That can be through ebook. You could do it through Amazon. You could do it through Barnes & Noble. There's a whole Apple. You could do it through a whole list. And we have that whole list of different places at thenextredwave.com, so then you can go there and choose your preferred retailer to pre-order the book and in the way you want it, audiobook as well. And I know it's available on Audible for purchase for pre-order. It's available, again, as an ebook a lot of different ways, like the Kindle, like the Nook, and many other ebook readers. And, of course, the hardback that I'm holding in my hand is available as well. It's out September 24th. But we encourage you, help us hit that pre-order goal. We're very close. We're probably within a couple hundred books. So if you could do it and pre-order today and or even over the weekend, that would really help us as we go into launch week with the book next week for the next Red Wave. So we just updated everybody about, if you're just joining us, a pretty big victory. It's a temporary victory, but it's a pretty big victory because remember, California passed a law signed by its governor that required presidential candidates to release 5 years of tax returns to appear on the state's March 2020 primary ballot. So, of course, that would affect this election and President Trump. Well, last month, President Trump's legal team, that's headed by my dad, Jay Sekulow, the GOP, and the California Republican Party, sued over the law, calling it unconstitutional. They sued in federal court because it creates an additional requirement to run for president. Constitution doesn't allow for that. Our law allows for states to have procedural requirements, not substantive requirements. Past governors in California, Democrats, when similar laws came up, they knew this was not going to pass constitutional muster. It was way too substantive. It's like you got to be 35, you have to be a natural born citizen, and you also have to release 5 years of tax returns. That is not the same as so that's the that's very substantive. If you add that, you would have to do it by constitutional amendment. It's not like saying, okay, you have to sign up by this date with this many petition signatures, or pay this amount of money to appear on the ballot. That's what most of them do. They say either this many signatures or pay this much, and you will be on the ballot. And those are like those are again procedural requirements that states are allowed to put in place. And then how to hold their primaries which has a lot of control too by the actual political parties have a lot of say in that as well. So what happened? Well, after the lawsuit was filed just about a month ago, a federal judge yesterday after we were on the air ordered a temporary injunction, calling it really it's like a tentative order against this California law. And what will happen now, the judge has said, this is the U.S. District Judge in California, Judge England, said he would issue his final ruling by the end of the month. Now, the final ruling is not on the merits of the constitutionality of this California law. The final ruling will be on whether there will be a preliminary injunction in place while the case proceeds so that the law will not go into, it won't go into effect right now. Then he's going to issue his order about whether or not that will remain in fact, not go into place so long as the case then proceeds on the merits on the grounds of whether or not it's constitutional. There will be appeals. This is the first stage, but it is a very good sign for President Trump and his legal team. Now, let me just say this. With that great, initial victory, and remember they're fighting the same similar in New York, filing a lawsuit yesterday. My dad was on the air talking about that. While the president's legal team is handling all of that, the president is focused on issues that you care about as Americans and issues we care about at the ACLJ and international issues as well, because, the UN General Assembly is beginning next week in New York. And on Monday at the UN, while all these other legal issues are going on and you got hearings going on with former campaign chairs, stuff like that, and campaign managers and things like that, and this House judiciary with the phony impeachment thing that they're doing, the president does the job of the presidency. He's a tough guy, stays on his commander, keeps his role as commander in chief. He stays in that function. And he's doing something pretty amazing Monday at the UN. It was just released again, yesterday after we were on the air by the White House. President Trump is going to host and provide keynote remarks. So he's actually hosting an event at the UN on Monday called the Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom. Monday, September 23rd, at the United Nations headquarters, Vice President Pence will be in attendance and introduce President Trump. The president is working to broaden international support for ongoing efforts to protect religious freedom in the wake of increasing persecution of people on the basis of their beliefs and a growing number of attacks on, and we've seen this multiple times before, and destructions of the houses of worships by state and non-state actors. So by state actors who persecute and by non-state actors like terrorist organizations. The president will call on the international community to take concrete steps to prevent attacks against people on the basis of their religion or beliefs and to ensure the sanctity of houses of worship and all public spaces for all faiths. I want to go right to Than Bennett, who handles our UN work in the United States when the UN is meeting in New York. Than, you were just there with a team from D.C. a few weeks ago. This is something we've been waiting for a president of the United States to do for a long time. It's not like he's joining someone else's event. He created an event. President Trump created an event where he will be speaking to bring attention to the persecution of religious people around the world and the destruction of places of worship around the world and calling for concrete action by the international community.
Yeah, Jordan, it's hard to express how encouraging it is to see a president of the United States lead in this way. You're right. We had a team of five up at the United Nations trying to get there ahead of the General Assembly kicking off. We met with every country from Latin America, basically making this same call that the president is going to make next week, calling for the Latin American hemisphere to take concrete steps to better secure religious liberty. Now, we did it on a couple of different levels, Jordan. Of course, there's the genocide level that happens and the persecution level that happens all across the world. But then there's also, maybe less visible forms of discrimination that take place. We were also calling on them to work against that. Jordan, the president is going to address the General Assembly on Tuesday, sort of as a kickoff for the General Assembly. Right. This event that you're talking about, the Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom, will happen the night before. And what I think is so significant about that is he is asking this General Assembly to take a step away from the focus that they usually have, which, quite frankly, it's usually mostly about censoring Israel. That's generally what they come away with from these sessions, and saying, look, there is genuine religious persecution and worse going around, happening around the world. The United States is going to focus on that, and the United Nations will as well. It's about time, Jordan. The United States is leading on this issue. I couldn't be happier about it.
You know, what I like to say here, too, is this contrast. You've got a president who, again, his legal team's out there fighting these battles, these unconstitutional moves by whether it's a district attorney in New York, the New York district attorney for the county for New York City, that the Trump legal team filed a lawsuit against, or in this California, this unconstitutional law requiring 5 years of tax returns to be released to appear on a primary ballot in 2020. Yes, his legal team, extremely competent, led by my dad, the host of Jay Sekulow Live, the namesake of the show, chief counsel for the ACLJ, in his outside role from that as the president's lead attorney. They're handling all of that. It's presidential harassment. They want to throw the president off. They want to get his attention. They want him to be so upset. And, I mean, this is a president. He can send a tweet about it. That is not distracting his entire day. This is a president who, while that's all going on, and hearings and this and that, and the Mueller report wasn't the end of it, and they keep going on and on to undermine his presidency and delegitimize his presidency, what is he doing? He's going Monday at the United Nations earlier than he has to speak more than he usually would, which is usually just to address the UN General Assembly as the leader of the free world, which he will on Tuesday. But he's going to the UN on Monday to host an event of his own creation to defend religious liberty and the persecution of religious people around the world, and to defend places of worship around the world. I mean, this is a president who is really following through with his promises that he made when he campaigned the first time. And I think it's just an excellent move, as Stan said, to redirect the UN General Assembly's attention and to call on them to take concrete steps to protect religious minorities from persecution, from their houses of worship, from destruction. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We can take calls about the legal issue. We can take calls about what President Trump is doing at the UN. 1-800-684-3110. And our team in Europe was just at the UN. I will play it for you when we come back from the break. Was just at the UN in Geneva this week on behalf of Pastor Saw imprisoned in China. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
So a federal judge in California has temporarily blocked the California law that would force disclosure of President Trump and other presidential candidates' tax returns going back 5 years to appear on a primary ballot, by the way, in March of 2020. This is unconstitutional. You know, the Constitution lays out the requirements to run for president and to be president. And what it allows is for the states to do procedural things like setting up the primaries, setting up, you know, if you need a number of signatures from people in the state to sign on to be on the ballot, or usually there's an or you can submit this amount of money and we'll put your name on the ballot. I mean, that's the kind of things that the states are allowed to do and organize and kind of figure out when their primary will be, work with the state election officials, how many locations they're going to have. Again, procedural, not substantive. It is the U.S. Constitution that decides who can be, who is qualified, the qualifications to be president of the United States. And it's very simple. No person, it's Article 2 of the Constitution, and it says, no person except a natural-born citizen or citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the U.S. Remember, when it was written, this was including, you know, founding fathers who may not have been born here, but again, became a citizen of the U.S. and then resided for 14 years. But what is the key there? 35 years old, natural born citizen. That is the constitutional requirement to run for president. That doesn't mean you're going to win. That's just the constitutional requirement to run. It is in Article 2 of the Constitution, which handles the executive branch, Section 1. So right away, what California wanted to do was add more to that and say, well, you also have to release tax returns. What's next? You also have to release medical records? I mean, you know, you could see how this. Now, President Trump's legal team's fighting it out in California. Victory there, temporary victory. Fighting it out in New York as well against a county district attorney in New York. But the president is focused on the big picture. Heading to the UN next week at the UN General Assembly as it meets in New York. And when it meets in New York, he has decided not just to give his speech on Tuesday, but then yesterday it was announced that the president would be hosting an event along with Vice President Pence on religious liberty, a global call to protect religious freedom, on the Monday at the United Nations headquarters. And the goal of this is for the international community to take actual concrete steps to prevent attacks against people on the basis of their religion or beliefs, and to ensure the sanctity of houses of worship in all public spaces for all faiths, because we see the destruction of those places of worship as well, which is how you wipe out an entire religious minority. You don't just kill the people or remove the people from the town or area. You convert or destroy their houses of worship. And that's what this event is about. And Than, it's awesome to see President Trump, Vice President Pence, doing this at the UN General Assembly, which most of the time the General Assembly loves to focus on condemning Israel and other Western allies, but he's going to be focusing in on an issue that they can't just ignore.
It's incredible to see, Jordan, and I would tell you that the biggest reason the United Nations has gone off the rails is because the United States historically has not used the authority that it has within the United Nations. You know, they're the biggest contributor. They have the most authority as far as having a vote on the Security Council and other levers to use inside the United Nations. And traditionally, Jordan, a lot of those levers have not been used. This administration is beginning to use them. They're stepping away from entities of the UN that are not effective. They are levering the power that they do have. It's great to see them leading, and even before the General Assembly kicks off, saying these are our priorities. And Jordan, it's particularly heartening to me because of the issue that you just raised. I think the eyes of the world do tend to be on things like genocide, but where the eyes of the world aren't on are where houses of worship either get destroyed or maybe even, you know, less nefarious, Jordan, but just as restrictive. A house of worship won't be allowed to do renovations, so eventually it just crumbles and people have nowhere to meet. I can't tell you how many countries around the world that happens in. And when we were at the United Nations just 3 weeks ago, we presented several of our reports on various countries around the world to Latin American countries. And that was one of the instances that was in several of our reports where there was not a freedom to associate because either permits could not be granted or maybe a government was forcing churches to turn over donor list, member list, association list. All of those things restrict the ability to engage with religious practice. Jordan, the president, leading the United Nations, starting to turn that around. Hopefully they'll start to focus on these issues because of it.
I want to remind people why we're able to do that. We have official status with the United Nations, non-governmental organizational status through the European Center for Law and Justice, headquartered in Strasbourg, France. So Althan's team in the U.S. works at the U.N. in New York under that credentialing from the European Center for Law and Justice. We had, and they were working with those countries, Latin American countries, on exactly this concrete steps to protect religious liberty, religious minorities, religious people from persecution, from death, and their houses of worship. We just this week, was it just yesterday? Just yesterday, at the UN in Geneva. Remember, so there's the UN, which will be meeting, the General Assembly meeting in New York beginning on Monday when the president hosts this event on religious liberty. But the UN Human Rights Council was meeting yesterday in Geneva, and one of our team members, our attorneys, senior attorneys from the European Center for Law and Justice, Christoph Fulzenlogel, was there at the UN Human Rights Council because of the credentials we have, recognized as an official UN group, presenting an oral intervention on behalf of imprisoned Pastor Saw, who is imprisoned in China because of his Christian faith. Take a listen to this, and some of you have seen if you watch on Facebook and Periscope, but for our radio audience, take a listen.
I now give the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. On the 5th of March 2017, Pastor Cao was targeted and detained by police when entering China, where he is a citizen and holds a valid passport. He was taken to the Menglian Detention Center and held for over 2 years. After his arrest, China has continued to not only violate and ignore Pastor Cao's rights, but its own laws. As we have previously pointed out to this council in great detail, the court in this case acted in violation of many PRC criminal procedural laws, resulting in an unjust conviction and appeal process, all while denying Pastor Cao visitation with his family, proper medical attention and nutrition. The most recent denial of Pastor Cao's rights occurred on July 25, 2019, when in an unprecedented move, the court simply made a public announcement of its decision to uphold the trial court's decision without holding an appeal hearing as required by law. In addition to the public announcement being heavily guarded by police officers, which is highly unusual, the U.S. consulate officers' repeated requests to attend the public announcement were denied. Now that his unjust sentence has been illegally upheld, Pastor Cao has been transferred from the Menglian Detention Center to Kunming Prison, where he will undergo a 2 to 3 months orientation period. If at the end of that period, Pastor Cao is finally allowed visitors, it will be the first time in over 2.5 years that his wife and children will be allowed to see him. This council should respectfully and firmly remind China of its continuing obligations as a charter member of the UN to ensure its citizens have the rights to freedom of religion and belief and the right to receive equal treatment under the law. Pastor Cao should be released and returned to the United States to be reunited with his wife and sons. Thank you.
On Jay Sekulow Live, second half hour coming up, taking your phone calls.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right.
Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to hold the calls on the California victory for President Trump and his legal team. So for Art and Joy, who are holding in on that, I think my dad will be joining us via phone. So as the president's lead attorney, I'll try to hold those calls if you can. After this, probably be the next segment. So just for about five more minutes, if you hold on, and I will let you ask him directly about the California law and the victory there. I want to just kind of recap where we are right now. We've got, of course, a California judge, federal judge, who has blocked that California law, which was signed by the California governor, Newsom, which required presidential candidates to release 5 years of tax returns to appear on the state's March 2020 primary ballot. Well, last month, President Trump's legal team and the GOP and the state Republican Party sued the state of California over the law, said it was unconstitutional. The quote from my dad is that it remains our position that California's tax return law is unconstitutional because states are not permitted to add additional requirements for candidates for president, and the law violated citizens' First Amendment right of association. A federal judge has temporarily agreed. So this is not the preliminary injunction. He will actually issue that. His decision on whether he issues that, he said, will come before the end of the month, so very soon. But he put a temporary hold here on this law, so a tentative order. And he did so because he said there would, quote, be irreparable harm without temporary relief for President Trump and other candidates from the law signed by California's Democratic liberal governor Gavin Newsom, a law signed in July, challenged by the Trump legal team. So you've got that victory. But then on the one, so you've got that going on. You had the New York case we talked about yesterday with my dad. And then I asked my dad that question. The president's got all these cases going on. His legal team's having to defend all of this presidential harassment. Right now, he's doing a press conference with the Prime Minister of Australia, as we speak to you. And then on Monday, he'll be in New York at the UN, not just to deliver his normal speech, which he will do on Tuesday to the UN General Assembly, which is a big deal that the president speaks each year at. It's a major deal. But he's decided to do something before that event, than host his own event at the United Nations during UN General Assembly Week with Vice President Pence on religious, protecting the freedom of religion and people from persecution and the destruction of houses of worship. The President of the United States is not joining someone else's. He's not attending someone else's event. He is hosting his own event at the UN even before he speaks to the UN General Assembly. And he'll be speaking at this event and calling on the world to take concrete action to protect religious people from persecutors, whether it's state persecutors or non-state persecutors like terrorist organizations, and to also use government resources to protect houses of worship from destruction and from attack.
Jordan, he's setting the tone for what the United States believes the focus of the United Nations General Assembly this year should be, and that is religious freedom. The name of the event is A Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom. But Jordan, I really think the most significant thing here is a symbolic one to start, but it really means a lot of substance behind it. It is coming to the United Nations a day early to say these are the priorities of the United States, and we expect them to be the priorities of the United Nations as well. We've not seen that kind of leadership from the United States from recent administrations. And Jordan, we need it now more than ever around the world. Religious persecution is on the rise. We need the United Nations, led by the United States, to lead the fight against it. So proud of the president and for this administration for making that the focus. Monday, people need to tune in. The president's going to have a message for the world on that issue.
All right, so in the next segment, my dad, chief counsel of the ACLJ, but also he is the lead attorney for President Trump, will be joining us live. So taking your questions on this California victory, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also get into some Senate politics as well, some more politics too. But my dad will be joining us, the president's top attorney, on this case out of California in the next segment. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, to share with your friends and family.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive.
Like,
and that's exactly what you were saying.
Away. And that includes
the
e-books
Center
too.
For Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, as I said, my dad would be joining us live via phone in the next segment of the broadcast. It is the next segment of the broadcast, and he is joining us by phone. He joined us yesterday to talk about President Trump's and his legal team's case and the lawsuit filed against the New York County District Attorney on a similar kind of tax returns matter. And this now, Dad, a case out of California. We've talked about the law on the show when it was signed into law by the Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom. This law requiring anyone to appear on the primary ballot in March of 2020 for president to release 5 years of tax returns. We talked about how it was unconstitutional when it was signed in July. Even the former Democrat governor of California, Jerry Brown, believed this law was really a slippery slope because if it was upheld, you could even then say, well, you have to have medical records released and things like that. I mean, adding substantive requirements to Article 2 of the Constitution without constitutional amendment. Well, so far, I'll let you announce what happened in federal court yesterday in California after we were on the air.
So what happened was we filed a lawsuit 2 months ago aimed at striking this law as unconstitutional. As you said, it added a requirement to appear on the ballot, which was the release of 5 years' worth of tax returns, which, of course, is nowhere in the United States Constitution. There's no requirement to release tax returns. So this was the state of California trying to put an obstacle in the way of President Trump from appearing on the ballot. That's all this was. More of this presidential harassment. But the state passed and the governor signed, although Jerry Brown, as you said he would have not signed it because he thought it was unconstitutional, which it is. And we're not the only ones now saying that. So a U.S. District Court judge issued a what's called tentative ruling yesterday indicating that the preliminary injunction will be issued. He will draft a full order before October 1st, and that law will be struck as unconstitutional. It was a very good day in court for our team. We were in two courts yesterday, as you know, both in California and in New York. Again, same kind of harassment going on. But in this particular case in California, it was an addition to the law. In other words, an addition to the requirements put in place by the Constitution, the qualifications for office and to run for office, added by the states, and there was no end in sight of what they could have done. But it was clearly targeted at the president. And that made this an even easier challenge, although, frankly, the law itself on its face is completely unconstitutional. Now, after we went yesterday, we also had a we were in court when I spoke to you in the afternoon.
Right.
We were in court in New York, had not yet received an order. And I know you talked about this earlier, but on that particular case, we were able to get the judge signed what's called an endorsement to a agreed-upon stipulation that the subpoena issued by the New York County DA would not go into effect, would be suspended pending judicial review. So what's interesting about that case...
That's breaking news for most of our audience. I want to make clear, and yes, it hasn't been widely reported in the news because as the way you described it, sounds very technical, judicial kind of decision, but in effect, what it does is prevent these tax returns from being released.
Well, not only that, I mean, the New York case is another form of just continuing. They're trying to continue what the Mueller probe, which is over and ended with them with nothing. So they're trying to do the same thing, but it's a county district attorney. And what is important to understand is that if a DA in any county could decide to investigate the president, well, then what stops the DA of Bibb County in Macon, Georgia, from doing the same thing? They can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a couple calls, Dad, for people who want to talk to you about this and ask some questions about this. One is, Joy out of Michigan on line two. Joy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, I want to thank you for taking my call and also thank you for what you're doing in regards to the California law. What I wanted to know is whether or not the Supreme Court could be brought in on this because of California, New York, and all these other states can do this. This will throw the 2020 primaries into total chaos if this isn't stopped at the national level.
Well, you raise a good point. So there's five other states that have looked at doing a similar law. Now, frankly, I think what's going to happen here is we won at the district court level with this tentative ruling. That'll become the permanent ruling, I think, as I said, by October 1st, as the judge indicated. And then the state of California may appeal it to the Ninth Circuit. But I even think in the liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, we will carry the day and win.
So ultimately, it may not require Supreme Court.
It to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, California may
not. Yeah, they may take it to the Supreme Court. If we win, I don't think they'd even grant review.
Yeah, I mean, now,
I think the other states are looking at this, and I don't think they're going
to
do it.
So, as usual, states will look to California to pass these most extreme laws, and they'll let California kind of fight it out. If California can't win, they're not going to do it either. It's not going to waste taxpayer resources to fight it out. California decided to do so, though, to use their taxpayer resources to fight this out. And they say they're going to continue the fight. So I know, Dad, your legal team and the president's legal team will be ready for that. We've got Art calling in from California on line one. Art, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Great work, as always. And hey, Jay, fantastic. I was kind of curious as to who this judge was and if it was one of the appointees from when Trump took over the administration. The reason I say is I know it's been touted before the importance of voting for those lower district court judges and putting them in place because obviously there's a tremendous movement towards Trump. And, you know, I live in the state of California. I see a lot of the things that they do, whether it be from ballot harvesting to becoming sanctuary state and supporting more and more free things for illegal immigrants and things of that nature. So I was just kind of curious as to, was that an appointed judge that was voted for under the Trump administration?
This judge was actually a George W. Bush appointee. He's been serving on the bench, I think, for 15 years and issued a great ruling. But interestingly, the judge we have in New York was appointed, issued the favorable consent order yesterday. That judge was appointed by President Clinton. So that particular judge is in his late 70s, has served on the bench for, I think, 25 years. And I think what you're seeing in that particular case is that the judge is taking the constitutional issues at stake in all of these cases very seriously. And I know I'm sounding clinical as I do this, because I have to, because we've got so many of these going on, but we really are defending the Constitution here. I mean, ultimately, this is a defense of the United States Constitution, and of course, defending my client, who happens to be the President of the United States. But you're also defending at paramount here is the Constitution, and that's what's at play.
What I think is important, Dad, is to keep reiterating, and we were talking about it before you joined us on the air today, is that while the president's legal team is fighting these battles out literally coast to coast and battling against this presidential harassment, the president on Monday, you know, he's focused The UN General Assembly begins in New York, and he is. White House released yesterday that the president, not some other group, and he's joining, but the president is actually hosting his own event with Vice President Pence on the global call to protect religious freedom on Monday at the UN, where the president will speak and call on the international community to take concrete steps to prevent attacks against people on the basis of their religion or beliefs and to ensure the sanctity, this is so key as well, of houses of worship and all public spaces for all faiths. The president is doing this, is hosting this event on his own. And Dad, I mean, that to me, again, it underscores the president is doing the job of the commander in chief. He's not just leading the country, but even leading the world when it comes to this issue of religious liberty, which is near and dear to the hearts of our listeners and supporters.
Yes. No, this will be a great event Monday in New York. And the president's committed to the issue of religious liberty. You've seen that both in word and deed. I mean, we talk about the cases that we handle every day. Involving religious freedom here in the United States and around the globe, and the fact that the president's willing to elevate this at the United Nations General Assembly with a separate meeting that will be, you know, widely attended, as you can imagine,
right.
I think speaks well for where our country's leadership is as it relates to the critical issue of religious liberty and religious freedom and freedom of worship and free exercise of religion. So these are all very positive developments. You're right. As we battle, my job is to battle it out in the courtrooms and lead our team in that endeavor. The president's job is to serve as commander-in-chief, the chief executive of the United States, and of course, leader of the free world, and that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, as we're on right now, he's doing a press conference with the Australian prime minister. That'll be, again, preparing for the New York General Assembly. Dad, again, I appreciate you joining us so you could update everybody about this victory in California. I think this would have been an issue if you're on the president's legal team or not, something ACLJ would also, this is totally unconstitutional.
100%.
And we've broken that down before.
No doubt.
Thanks for joining us.
Yep, my pleasure. Thanks, everybody.
All right, folks. When we come back, one of my co-authors from The Next Red Wave, Benjamin Sisney, senior attorney with the ACLJ, he'll be joining us to talk about kind of what he thinks are some of the most important parts of the book that he wants you to know about that you'll read in The Next Red Wave, which is released on Tuesday, September 24th. We're just a couple hundred books away from our pre-order goal. And that can be ebook, hardback. You can choose where at thenextredwave.com. If you go to that website we set up for you, you can choose where you'd like to purchase the book or the ebook or the audiobook. But we're just a couple hundred away from that pre-order goal. That's great before launch date. So help us launch this book strong by pre-ordering the book today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
It's been a busy week for President Trump as Commander-in-Chief. It'll be a busy week for him next week at the UN, at the UN General Assembly, and while he's hosting on Monday this historic religious liberty event, a global call. This is the president hosting this event. I just keep wanting to underscore this. The president hosting at the United Nations headquarters a global call to protect religious freedom on Monday. That's the day before he'll address the UN General Assembly. He could have just done his address at the UN General Assembly like most world leaders would do. But he's actually hosting his own event. He's not just like attending someone else's religious liberty event at the UN. He's hosting it with the vice president. So it really, really just shows you how committed this president is to the issues we care about. Like I did yesterday, I had two co-authors on my new book, which is released Tuesday, September 24th. Just a few days away. It'll be in the stores and it'll be available to you. You can pre-order it now. I had one of my co-authors on, Matthew Clark. Today, Benjamin Sisney, my other co-author, is joining us. Let me just kind of introduce you to Ben. Ben is also a senior counsel for litigation and public policy at the ACLJ in Washington, D.C. He had spent 5 years in private practice, a judicial clerkship for a United States district judge, a legal fellowship for United States senator on Capitol Hill, and like me, served as a member of President Trump's legal team when it related to the Russia investigation and the Mueller report, the Mueller investigation. So Ben Sisney, also one of my co-authors, and Ben, you made some incredible contributions to the book, and I asked both you and Matt to come on each one of these days leading up to its release and just kind of point out one of your favorite parts or what you thought was one of the most important parts of the book. For Matt, it was the sacred duty to vote and not burying your vote and how important that is and then taking that to the next level. For you, it's one of my favorite chapter titles of all. I must say that. It's a great chapter of the book, but it's one of the best chapter titles I think we've got in The Next Red Wave, Exposing the Den of Vipers, the ACLJ FOIA Practice. So tell everybody, Ben, why you believe this chapter is so important.
Thank you, Jordan. This chapter is important because it gets right to the heart of what we as Americans can do, what we've done at the ACLJ and continue to do, but what our readers and our listeners can do. We have a tool available to us in America where we can get information straight from our government officials, straight from our leaders. We don't have to depend on the press. We don't have to depend on mainstream media. We can go get it ourselves, and then when they resist, as they've often done with us, we can take them to court. Now, not everybody can run right into the federal courthouse. We can, but the point there is our listeners, our readers can see how they can join with us in those battles, how they can make their voice heard with us. There's a message that one of the prevailing messages of the book is that I just want to emphasize here as we talk about these particular issues is America is special. America is unique. We have a constitution. We have protections of our liberties. We have access to an influence over our government leaders like none other. We cannot take that for granted, Jordan. And this book provides ways that our readers can engage that battle on their own or standing side by side with us.
And again, Ben is referring to one section, and he's an expert, by the way. So as a co-author of this book, this section on the FOIA process, Ben, what is key, I mean, you kind of are one of the leads in our FOIA practice at the ACLJ. So when people are reading this and the examples that we put in there for them, I mean, obviously we could go through hundreds of different examples, but we put in some of the key examples of what you can do, what right we have as Americans, and some of the most egregious stuff that we've found, but also kind of so that they understand that this is available to the American people. And at the ACLJ, we're committed to getting this kind of information, even if we have to drag these government agencies to court kicking and screaming.
That's right, Jordan. There are at least 100 federal government agencies that are subject to the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, which means that they have to follow these procedures and provide the records when we ask for them. Over at least 100 agencies. Now, each and every state has their own state government agencies that have their own versions and variations of open records request laws or open access laws.
Right.
You know, the saying that sunshine is the best of disinfectants, it certainly applies here. We show our readers in this book how they can do it, how we have done it, how we've been successful. But the point I want to drive home here, Jordan, is they can do that too. In fact, they must.
Yeah, and this again, it's in. You'll find this part of the book. It's chapter 7 in the book, and the book is out September 24th. It's a great title, Exposing the Den of Vipers. That's what it is. The ACLJ FOIA practice. We talk about Comey's circle of corruption. I mean, Ben, the examples that we chose are examples people are going to be familiar with, but it's going to educate them to a level that, you know, we're not able to do on a radio broadcast or a 5-minute TV hit.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the benefits of putting it in book form, getting this message out there in book form so that people can spend more time with it and really go in depth. And on that point, Jordan, I would just emphasize, you talked with Matt yesterday and on this program a lot about the importance of voting and the rights and privileges we have in America concerning voting, and that is critical. But there's so much more than just voting that we've got to take advantage of. We have an obligation to, not just a right, but an obligation to interact with our government at every level. Throughout the year, and this chapter, Chapter 7, discussing our ACLJ FOIA practice, is one of those ways that we can do that and that our readers and our listeners can do that.
What I like about this book, and you don't see this all the time in like conservative books or get out the vote books, but because we're lawyers, all three of us, and we have these political experience, Ben, is that this book is fully indexed, so you can go through the index, look up, you know, FOIA, look up all the different terms, different things you may be interested in, and see if it's there in the book and what page it is. Where does Jim Comey's name appear many times throughout the book? But again, we also have a significant we did endnotes, so they're not footnotes, so they're not like distracting within the text while you're reading the book or listening to the book. But we did endnotes so that people know, they'll see the number in each chapter, that this is all footnoted. Factual information. They're not going to read anything here. Yes, there we have opinions, of course. We have opinions on who to vote for. We have opinions as conservatives. But when there's an assertion of fact, they can find out where that fact comes from in this book. You don't always get that in these conservative books that come out around election time. We did that for people because of our legal backgrounds. And Ben, that was part of why it was great to have you on the team, was because you're so familiar with that FOIA process. And the process, of course, documenting everything for people. So thank you, Ben, for joining me in this endeavor in the book, The Next Red Wave.
Thank you, Jordan.
Folks, again, pre-order. Help us. We're just a couple hundred away. It could be the ebook, the hardback. You decide where you want to order it, pre-order it from. TheNextRedWave.com. Help us get that pre-order goal as we get a strong launch week next week. Go to TheNextRedWave.com. Pre-order from wherever you like. Ebook, hardback, audiobook. I think we'll get there with your help. We'll talk to you on Monday.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.